Well, this past weekend, the Koch brothers also sang the praises of President Trump and his ability to carry out their conservative agenda, pledging to increase funding for midterm races to keep the gains made under Trump. And here are some Trump supporters from the BBC today.
Well, he's a man of action and incredible focus. He's got all of the establishment Republicans against him, all the Democrats against him, most of the media against him, and yet he just keeps zeroing in on that goal to make America great again.
He is saying what a lot of people were thinking. I mean, and I think he's cutting through the politics of it.
A lot of people don't like him tweeting. I think it's great because it's coming from his mouth to your ear.
That's Roger Oyen, before that his wife Jan, and we started with Keith Krischer, all in Grant County, Wisconsin. So how do Democrats counter tonight? Democratic strategist Steve Schale joins us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Steve, are Democrats paying too much attention to Trump tweets while his backers can tick off what he's done?
Yeah, I mean, I think for many Democrats, the Trump election is still kind of a moment that people haven't moved past. And I think that's, frankly, a danger. And, you know, part of why he got there is he ran a pretty smart campaign. And I think when you see, for example, what the Koch brothers are looking at doing in 2018, a lot of the things that helped elect Donald Trump, a lot of the strategies behind it, the field effort, et cetera, was through the Koch funding. And so we have to take it seriously.
Oh, very seriously. The Koch brothers pledged this past weekend to increase by 60%. Their support of Republicans in the midterms to spend as much as $400 million to defend the policies that have been put in place. Let's just list some of them. The president appointed Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, signed the tax bill into law. By the way, liberal groups say that Koch Industries stand to save about $1 billion to $1.5 billion a year because of that tax cut. The president also withdrew from the Paris climate deal, declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel, pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He can brag tonight.
Yeah, but most of those accomplishments appeal to a very small sector of the electorate. You know, they talk to his base. You know, and you know the reason why the president has 40% approval rating is because 60% of the Americans don't necessarily agree with the direction he's taking the country. The challenge in midterm elections is these things tend to be more about motivation and turnout than they are about sort of winning the argument. And so I suspect the Koch brothers, when they look towards spending that money, what they traditionally do is not spend a lot of money on TV. They spend a lot of money on the ground, digital campaigns, identifying the types of voters who may be less motivated to vote normally, but through a message here or there or a door knock here or there can win.
Well, what about tonight? We hear that the president's speech is going to be a little more conciliatory than maybe his inaugural was, maybe extend some olive branches along with touting his achievements, which every president does. But what do you think the Democrats should say in response?
You know, I think, again, for Democrats, the goal is to continue to lay out what a different vision would look like, that it's not just that Trump is sort of a disaster on the world stage or sort of an embarrassment in the office. That going a different direction in 2018 and 2020 means more economic security for more people. It means a renewed sense of America's place in the world, not just as a military power, but as a power to do good. And so I hope when you hear the responses, that's the tack we're going to take. Because in the end, when we look towards the next big fight, which is 2020, it's going to be as much about our ability to lay out a vision for what America should look like as much as it's going to be a referendum on Trump's interesting behavior as president.
Well, how do you counter his pointing to the stock market as surging on his watch, the lowest unemployment for African-American men, these details that are happening now? How do you counter that?
Well, first of all, I mean, most of that economic take the unemployment happened under Obama. And if you look at polling, voters give President Obama credit because take African-American unemployment. It dropped from 15% to 7.5% under Obama. Trump gets credit for dropping in another point. But the reality, take the stock market. You know, 85% of Americans don't have a, you know, stock. And so those gains, which actually are less as a percentage than they were in Obama's first year, but that's besides the point, those gains don't necessarily impact people's pocketbooks.
But they but it impacts their mindset. It makes them feel that things are good.
It does, except at the same time when things like President Trump takes away their health care. And again, I think that our job is to lay out a vision about how a prosperity can be broader. I mean, a lot of the Trump policies are going to – they sound great and they – nice little talking points. But the reality for most middle-class families, take like ones from my hometown of Kankakee, Illinois, there's really nothing that the increased stock market's doing to help reduce the cost of living and make life better for folks like that. Our job is to lay out that we do have a vision to get there.
That's Democratic strategist Steve Schell. Steve, thanks so much.
Hey, really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.